broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 16th in the year of our Lord 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. A quick recap of yesterday's show, still available online at libertyroundtable.com. We had our guest on, Mr. Larry Pratt, formerly with Gun Owners of America. Now, Larry is just involved in, well, singing in the church choir and spending time with loved ones and family and, well, joining Liberty Roundtable Live for the discussions of all things liberty. We talked about the top FBI official. The guy's name is Michael Corton. He accepted gifts from CNN reporters during the Clinton and the Trump probes. Of course, there's no accountability. No one's going to jail for that, mind you. Top FBI corrupt officials on display. We also talked about Donald Trump denounced the impeachment inquiry, and he condemned what he called the unholy alliance of corrupt Democrat politicians, deep state bureaucrats, and fake news media. Well, he's right about that, but he talks big, but he doesn't do anything about it, it doesn't seem to me. He should be interviewing folks like us. He should be jumping on the radio with us to do interviews and to talk, and he should absolutely circumvent the mainstream trash he talks about, but he babbles about it and then goes straight to them when it comes to the news every time. Donald Trump, I guess his accounting firm, not Donald himself, of course, he's wealthy and has his accounting firms take care of everything, but they must comply with a House committee's demands for 8 years of his financial records, an appellate court now ruled. So Donald getting beat up by the IRS folks, just like the rest of us, he can't do anything about it. He's failed to drain the swamp. As a result, they're coming to get him on all fronts. And Donald, slowly but surely, in my opinion, the vice starts to tighten on the Donald. Sad, dishonest, immoral, criminal, no doubt. But it's all true, and I think Donald waited too long to be able to stop it now. We'll talk about that as the broadcast unfolds. A shock poll, though. Tremendous shift in black males supporting Donald Trump. WorldNet Daily with that piece. Nobody else willing to report that truth. That's my point. He who owns the media makes the rules. You don't get that stuff unless you check out places like WND.com, Breitbart, Need to Know News, Liberty Roundtable, a few unique places. But the mainstream press just won't cover the fact that the blacks are starting to support Donald Trump, the males in record numbers. Maybe Kanye has something to do with that, huh? Trump to value voters. Quote, they're coming after me because I'm fighting for you. I think that's absolutely true. I think Donald's done a lot of good. I don't mean to down him. The swamp is deep and the swamp is murky, and man, the best guys with the best of intentions get in there and get swallowed up by the gators, don't they? Hour two of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. We talked about the Rick Korber sentencing. Ammon Bundy held a press conference yesterday at 11 a.m. And we'll get to all that next hour. Ammon Bundy will join us. We also had our guest on yesterday, Mr. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. And we talked about impeachment probe, a constitutional crisis. We talked about the Donald Trump mistake allowing Turkish invasion of northern Syria. Now, when we say that's a mistake, we're not really saying that we don't want the troops out. We do. We need less war and less Americans being the world cops. I get it. But we thought that it might be a vacuum. But the Russians have stepped up and filled the void, done a phenomenal job. And so, you know what? The natural order of things takes over, and it's good news. Now they don't know what to say about the Donald because they thought it would go all wrong and everybody was criticizing him from both sides of the aisle. All the war hawks were just belligerently crazy that Donald was backing away. But you know what? Not perfect, but not turning out too bad. Maybe we ought to try more and more and more of that around the world, huh? We talked about internet government trolls and how they're literally, virtually on the forefront of committing vote fraud. Joel Skousen says it's not vote fraud, but it certainly is manipulation. I say it rises to the level of fraud, personally. Rush Limbaugh and his failure to convict the deep state. That's an article Joel Skousen wrote. And basically, Rush just says, hey, you know what? The only way for us to win is to elect more Republicans to office. And my response is, almost got me. I mean, that's what we do every time. Just elect more Republicans. And I mean, some good things happen. Donald's been pro-life, one of the very few in the Republican Party. Good for President Trump. Yes, we've got a few good judges in place. That's better than nothing. But we're still headed towards the deep state agenda of socialism and communism, like 90 Mile going north in America, folks. Don't fool yourself. We wrapped up with Joel Skousen talking about an incredible preparedness tip from Joel Skousen's son, Andrew Skousen. The new Titan solar generator. He talked about that. And then we doubled down and talked about the ABC airing of the fake video of a Syria bombing. Donald Trump calls it a big scandal. Turned out that ABC News had to issue a correction, they claim. They say, hey, man, you know what? We aired this wrong video. Sorry, it was gun range video. It wasn't really, the Kurds getting slaughtered like we claimed. And they got caught big time, flat out lying, peddling fake news to the American people. I mean, there ought to be criminal charges filed against this. They act like it was a mistake. It was no mistake. How do you get gun range video mixed in with your, quote, videos relating to foreign correspondence? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, folks. They lied. The narrative as well, you know, the live commentators like, hey, there's a slaughter going on here. But the narrator, if they were honest with themselves, would have detected that isn't the video where I was live, or that isn't the video where my colleagues sent me about this. And nobody caught it until, well, the folks that ran the gun range went, wait a minute, that's our video. And ABC got caught, folks. Again, I deliver presentations all around the country. He who owns the media makes the rules. The new media has taken center stage. We're catching them at every turn. They lie, lie, lie. Donald's right when he points this fact out, but then Donald runs straight to those folks when he wants to get out the news. It's kind of like Ron Paul. And I don't mean to criticize Ron, but I do want to highlight the problems here. Ron Paul tells you how bad the media is, too. So does Rand. But then when they want to raise money, they say, we got to spend money with the mainstream press. Well, then what happens? The mainstream press steals your money, mocks you 9 times out of 10, does a little bit of your bidding for your filthy lucre. And then at the end of the day, we have nothing we can't fight next time. What we need to do is double down and invest in our own media, folks. I've been telling everybody that for a couple of decades and more. But of course, don't listen to Sam. He's just an idiot, right? All right. Google has a stealth plan to defeat Donald Trump in 2020, writes David Kapilian. He lays out the battlefield and he explains the Democrats' quote, secret weapon. WND.com, David Kapilian doing a phenomenal job. He's spot on. Facebook, they say, will not pull ads that lie. So that's how they're treating the Donald, saying that, hey, you know what? Biden's a criminal. They just say Donald's lying. So now you got, they won't pull ads that won't lie, but they just peddle their lies. Never mind that you hear Joe Biden, according to Donald Trump's ad, in his own words, saying he created a quid pro quo for those folks. What do you say to all that, huh? Wow. All right, I guess we talked about a big old sex scandal. They were peddling pornographic sexual material to children. The parents went berserk about it. The parents went in and talked to the administrators about it. The parents started saying the exact same things that the school was saying to the kids, and, well, they freaked. The administrator said, hey, you got to not say those kind of things. And the parent said, well, if it's suitable to talk about in class, it's suitable to talk about here, right? But again, the battle goes on, and no one will do anything about it, folks. Those same parents that are just absolutely livid, they'll just turn around and keep their kids in the government school. They'll continue to back the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. What do you expect? That's what we do in America. We babble once in a while and act like we're just, oh my gosh, incensed. But then we turn right around and double down, and we wonder why the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto seems to indoctrinate our children with sexual perversion. But then, you know, we won't do anything about it. We'll just get mad next time it becomes so egregious our senses are assaulted, right? Don't worry, though, on a lighter note, the average price of gas in America is $2.73 a gallon, 24 cents lower than it was a year ago. The highest average price in the nation is $4.20 in San Francisco, just where you expect it to be. The lowest is 217 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So that's on a lighter note, and that wraps up our recap. Man, I'm telling you, we cover a lot of news on a shoestring on this broadcast. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Without further ado, news the networks refuse to use starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, I'm pretty hard on the Donald, aren't I, Kurt?
Well, I think you'd try to, you know, be as fair as possible.
I do, and I don't mean to down President Trump. He's done a lot of good. Like I mentioned, he's put a lot of good people on the courts, a lot of behind-the-scenes court picks that you haven't really heard about because they won't tell you. He's done a lot of good pro-life things. He's really tried hard on the border. But he doesn't take things far enough. For example, he's been shut down by so many single-handed rogue thug judges over the last 3 years, that it's almost 3 years, that it's just shocking. Somebody needs to call for the impeachment of these thug rogue judges. But no one's doing it. No one wants to go that far. They just want to say, oh, bad judge, bad judge. The mainstream press, Donald talks about saying we're going to loosen libel laws. I haven't seen it. Donald says I'm going to hold these, mainstream people accountable for their dishonesty and their lying and their fake news. But I don't see it anywhere. I don't see anybody do it. Donald complains about the mainstream press, but he doesn't look for alternative news sources like us to go to. You could say, well, Sam, you're nobody. Where would we be if Donald paid attention to us for, a few days? We'd be right at the center of it all, huh? Speaking of that, Sam and James were at the center of it all election season long. That's why James is joining us next. James Edwards will co-host the next 2 hours with us. LibertyRoundtable.com, thepoliticalcesspool.org.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's no talk radio on the planet like Liberty Roundtable Live. Hard hitting, breaking it down like nobody's business. The who, what, when, where, why of the story comes out every time. A whole lot of commentary and opinion to top it all off. We don't make any bones about that. The mainstream press tries to pretend they're above opinions and commentary, but they double down on their fake news commentary every day. We just level with you and tell you what our agenda is. That is to promote God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property. All right, co-hosting the show with Sam and Kurt today, James Edwards, well-known talk show host on the weekends, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Welcome, my brother.
Sam, I was listening. My head was spinning as I heard all of that news that was covered in just yesterday's broadcast alone. What an information clearinghouse this program is. What an honor it is to be with you every month.
All right, let's kick it off. Last night, they had 12 on the debate stage. They went from 25-plus people running, but 20 in the debates last couple of times. They're narrowing it to 12. But I wrote a question down, and that's what we're going to start with as we discuss this with Sam, James, and Kurt. 12 in Dem debate. Will any of them become the nominee? Kurt, you're first, sir.
Well, it's your possibility that either Michelle or Hillary will be brought in at the end.
So if that's the case, then the answer would be no, right?
You know. Well, I said it's a possibility. I don't see it happening, but it certainly could. And then you've got the Michael Bloomberg that says he's willing to offer up his services.
And if he jumped in again, the answer to the question of the 12 would be no.
Right. But right now, from what I can see, the anointed one is the Elizabeth Warren, and they're, you know, protecting her in a lot of ways. But, you know, I overall, I think it really doesn't matter because I believe that the president's heading for re-election, and the landslide we've really never seen in our lifetimes.
Yeah, you're right about those possibilities for sure. Do you want to chime in, James? So let me just pose the question. There's 12 people on the debate stage last night, but will any of them really become the nominee?
Well, I have heard, I mean, we've heard rumblings about Hillary, you know, lurking in the shadows, perhaps going to give it a third and final try. And that's definitely within the realm of possibility because all of these candidates are mortally flawed. I mean, not that Hillary isn't, I mean, obviously, but I think that she probably would fare better. The Democrats have gone so far off the rails, and with Biden being the moderate, the safe choice, he's had his own problems with memory and stumbling and things like that has been well documented. If she gets in, I think she would win it. Yeah, I think that even she looks moderate compared to where the Democrats have gone over the course of the last 4 years. I did see some of these election prediction models, these models that are never wrong. They've hit it 100% of the time, or one that had missed it only once in the last 40 years or something like that. And they're saying, like Kurt says, it's going to be Trump in re-election. I think he does have, to his advantage, the fact that the Democrats have gone so far radically left, so far away from the center of the country. However, it's like I said, I think it really just is going to be this simple. It's going to come down to Florida, and you have to take into account that Trump has really not done much at all to stem the flow of illegal aliens across the border. And when they get here and when they come to these swing states like Florida, which he won by such a scant margin in 2016, and the Republicans carried by an even narrower margin in the midterms, is it enough to tip Florida? If you lose Florida and all those electoral votes, if that goes, I mean, that's a 60 electoral vote swing, you know, to lose, you know, however many Florida is, what is it, 30-something, and then, you know, that takes away from your column goes to the. If he loses Florida, I think that's it. He could very well lose Georgia for the first time in modern history, a Republican candidate. So I don't think it's necessarily a shoe-in at all, and I think it could come down to really just one state, you know, being the determining factor. And, of course, all of those felons he let out with the so-called criminal justice reform, that's a straight ticket Democrat vote. So, and these states that he won by, you know, he won, what, Michigan by, you know, 10,000 votes, 10,000 votes. It's going to be interesting, but the Democrats are doing his favors right now with their insanity.
All right, here's my commentary on it. I personally think they're allowing the folks that are not the front runners, that are not going to be the nominee, they're allowing them to continue to drift left. You just have Ocasio-Cortez endorsing Sanders. You have a lot of extremists saying Joe Biden's a broken candidate. Well, broken may be a threat. Nevertheless, he's been around too long and he's pretty savvy. If he got back. So the real question is, who's going to come in with the big money? Who's going to come in and protect the candidates? As Kurt wisely said, some of these candidates are being extremely protected. Some of the candidates are being already, in my opinion, dismissed. Even though they made it to the stage, they're being dismissed. Now, they're all trying to vie for attention. But here's my opinion. They're intentionally skewing this so far left that any one of Bloomberg, Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton, or a few other people could come in as the moderate of the Democrats and say, listen, these guys have built a bridge too far. You know, poor Joe. You know, we love Joe, but man, he's just, well, by golly, he's just caught in a scandal. And, you know, well, hey, Bernie, too old, heart attack guy, love him to death. I pray he gets some rest. And, you know, some of these other extremists, Elizabeth, Pocahontas, no go. And they'll come back and they'll be the center. Donald Trump is way too right, extreme, just full of scandal and division. And these leftists are just too much. But we're going to come back and bring reason, the voice of reason, to the Democratic Party. And there's a good chance something like that will happen. It might be Michelle Obama. I don't believe Bloomberg has the chutzpah to get it done. Nevertheless, Michelle Obama could. But I submit to you, it all depends on who the running mates are. Mike Pence, really nice guy, Christian guy, good guy in many ways. But you know what? He's a non-factor. He's quiet. He doesn't really do much to move the needle. Whereas if you get a Democratic powerhouse, let's say that you put a Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama together. Or let's say that you put, and so I think it depends a lot on where the deep pockets are going to come from. Who's got the ability to tap into the deep pockets? And I think it all depends on who the running mates are going to be. And it all depends on who the mainstream press is going to protect or throw to the wolves. And the proof in the pudding is right now, there's somebody who won the debate last night, but they're being thrown to the wolves at the same time. This is a lady that threatened to boycott the debate because she wasn't being treated right, but she didn't boycott. She jumped in and won, Kurt.
Right. Her name is Tulsi Gabbard. And, you know, we've seen this at the first one she was in, according to Drudge and I think several other polls, Breitbart and some others. She won. And then it happened again, according to Drudge, where they had almost 140,000 votes on there. She came in number one at 40% for last night's event.
Almost double the next person, right, Kurt?
Right. And the next one was Andrew Yang at 20%, whereas the next one after that was the Mayor Pete at 9%. Biden down there at 6, I think, let's see, Warren got 7%. So they certainly don't look at these numbers, apparently, when they say who the front runner is.
The top, let me say this, the top two candidates got well above, almost double, and in some cases almost quadruple, what Joe and Elizabeth got together in the Drudge poll. Now, you can say, well, Drudge has a lot of conservatives and da-da-da-da-da. Say what you will. All I'm telling you is that, look, this lady, she's what, a rep from Hawaii, right, Kurt?
That's right. Uh-huh.
She's very scrappy. She came out. They say she looked like a, what do you say, Kurt? She took the stage the second she walked out, they claimed.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Which,
you know, she's been pretty good. Consistently, I think she did very well in another debate. I think there may have been one that she wasn't invited to, and as you said, she likely nearly boycotted this one because of all of that treatment. She, as far as Democrats go, she's as good as you're about to find, especially on that presidential level. And she's very good on the issue of war. I mean, you're very good as a non-interventionist, sort of a Washingtonian foreign policy. You know. Maintaining your independence from these foreign entanglements. So, you know, I'd like to see her do better, but of course she's not going to be, you know, a player in this in a couple of months. And, you know, talking about Hillary or anybody else who may jump in, I mean, we got to remember we're on the cusp of Halloween here. Iowa votes in just a few weeks, literally. I mean, you're going to have the primary.
Yes, but all you got to do is let these people jump in the last second, and 90% of the heat and the battle and the exposing of individuals doesn't touch the protected candidate that may not have even been revealed yet. Can Elizabeth Warren, if she's the front runner, overcome Pocahontas? She's also been caught lying about a lot of things, saying she was pregnant, got kicked out for being pregnant. All kinds of lies are going to be exposed about Elizabeth. Bernie had a heart attack, but he was endorsed by Ocasio-Cortez. I think they've got to jettison these extremists at some point. They're just too liberal socialist. Hang tight, more in seconds.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo are scheduled to leave today for Turkey to discuss the situation in Syria after President Trump pulled U.S. troops out of that region. But the Turkish president says today he won't meet with Pence and Pompeo when they get there. And as we hear from correspondent Wendy King on Capitol Hill, lawmakers from both parties remain concerned about President Trump's decision.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he has grave concerns about the decision, fearing it will benefit the Islamic State,
leaving the door wide open for a resurgence of this dangerous force.
His concerns were echoed by top Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
President Trump has encouraged nothing short of an ISIS jailbreak.
Forecasters say a nor'easter that's bearing down on the Northeast and New England could become a bomb cyclone today. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world run a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for gold prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 per ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to capitalize and profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or 800-289-2646. Or visit online at SwissAmerica.com.
A dozen Democrats all hoping to win the White House, exchanging their views and opinions on a variety of issues on an Ohio debate stage last night, where age and health was also discussed.
I will outwork, outorganize, and outlast anyone, and that includes Donald Trump, Mike Pence, or whoever the Republicans get stuck with.
That's Senator Elizabeth Warren. Vice President Joe Biden saying,
one of the reasons I'm running is because of my age and my experience. With it comes wisdom.
A Texas woman's nephew says she pointed a gun towards the window before a Fort Worth police officer shot and killed her last weekend while she was watching video games in her home with her nephew. Police, though, say it's irrelevant to the shooting of the woman. The cop now faces a murder charge. A first-ever all-female spacewalk may be happening tomorrow at the International Space Station. This is USA Radio News.
All right, co-host James Edwards, race, politics, and hypocrisy in the 21st century America, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check out his award-winning broadcast every Saturday night on Liberty News Radio. So 12 in the Democratic debate last night. Will any of them become the nominee is the question. Anything else to break down for the debate that you want to mention, Kurt?
Well, I'll say this, that I was looking at a New York Post piece on this, and it's headlined, Tulsi Gabbard Rips Host CNN New York Times. In it, basically, she says that the New York Times and CNN have also smeared veterans like myself for calling for an end of this regime change war. She says, just 2 days ago, the New York Times put out an article saying that I'm a Russian asset and a Syrian president apologist. All these different smears, she said this morning, a CNN commentator said on national television that I'm an asset of Russia. So it's kind of interesting, at least if you look at that. I think most people will just not hear of her, and that's the way she'll kind of go away.
All right. Well, any other things from the debate that you saw you want to mention, James?
It's interesting what Kurt said. I guess anybody they don't like is a Russian asset. I guess.
Yeah, you're a Russian asset for sure, sir.
The new McCarthyism, a parody of McCarthyism. But, you know, I didn't watch last night's debate. I did watch the first couple in their entirety and just felt the brain cells dying. Bobby Jindal said something in the former governor of Louisiana, you'll forgive me for not remembering his real name, but they call him Bobby. And he wrote something in an op-ed just a few days ago, and it just to echo the point that I made a moment ago, that every time these Democrats have a debate, they're doing Trump a huge favor. And Buchanan and others have said the same. They're going so far to the left, it'll be hard for them to scurry back toward the center because they have just doubled down so hard. And it wasn't a debate a few days ago, last week. I guess it was some sort of a town hall for homosexual issues or what they call LGBTQ and all of that. And it just, I mean, the absurdity of it all, guys, to any right-thinking, healthy-minded family man, you know, anybody with any semblance of decency or Christianity, they were having these things where all of these presidential candidates, you know, people that are in the conversation for being the leader of this nation, were genuflecting and with, you know, clenched, you know, clasped hands and a serious look on their face. We're thinking about, you know, what they could do to help these parents who are allowing their 8-year-old children, 10-year-old children to have these, you know, sex change hormones, sex change operations, just all of this stuff. And you had this mother of this, it couldn't have been more than an 8 or 10 year old girl who she had dressed in a suit and tie with a boy's haircut. And I mean, you know, when people see that, when average Americans see that, you had this, you know, so-called transgendered black woman. It was really about a 6'6" tall man who came down and took the microphone and was, it took the microphone from this mother, and it was just beyond anything I've ever seen, even on, say, I don't know, I mean, what's one of these irreverent channels? Maybe like an MTV reality show? This was supposed to be a presidential forum, and you had Don Lemon calling this man ma'am. I just think people see that, and, you know, for all...
Yeah, people are starting to get sick of it, that's for sure.
Not being able to do more to build a wall, not being able to do more to bring that energy back that he had in 2016 after 4 years of back and forth and all of that. Anyway, long story short, yes, I think the way the Democrats are handling this thing is really out of touch with most of America.
All right, but they're pushing on this because Anderson Cooper asked the final question of the night last night. Many people are very critical of this question because they're saying, hey, we need to talk about global warming. We didn't talk enough about Joe Biden and his scandal. They only spent a couple of little minutes letting him defend himself on that, basically. No real attacks or crosstalk or discussions that culminated. We're not talking about a lot of the things that are really critical to discuss. Here was the last question from, what, Cooper? So they say, hey, you know what? There was a Twitter backlash about Ellen and Bush. And Ellen defended the relationship with Bush. Can't we be different and be friends? And so the question said, so in that spirit, we'd like you to tell us about a friendship that you've had that would surprise us and let us know what impacts that have had on, that has had on you and your beliefs. And so then everybody took to the social media blogosphere and they mocked the question. So they're, you know, big time into the debate and Anderson Cooper asks a question like that. Wow. They didn't talk about China. They said, is this question a joke? And so now it's like, tell me about relationships that you've had that we can attack you for. Well, they didn't say it that way, but that's the inference there, James. Well, now, come on now. Tell me about a relationship that I can destroy you over, please.
Well, do tell, Sam. Again, I skipped that one after seeing what they had on offer the first few rounds. So how do people respond to that?
Let's do 20 minutes on the Ellen Bush deal, right? I mean, it's crazy town. Kurt, why don't you tell me about a relationship that you know, we can try to sink you over, attack you over, or mock you over, or whatever. Even
it's
the
insane,
candidates called
Sam,
out the question as insanity.
Such a waste of time. By the way, the Breitbart News poll had Tulsi Gabbard with 60% plus Andrew Yang at 11.4%. Mayor Pete at 4%, Tom Steyer, who at least, you know, in my opinion, out of this whole crowd, based on the things I've read about him, is someone I'd almost be able to give a vote to. Then you got Warren, Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, 2.76, but I guess Bernie's, got something coming to the rescue because the squad is now endorsing him. So,
led by Ocasio-Cortez. By the way, relationship would sink you, Kurt. Let's highlight that, you know.
You know, like I say, I wouldn't answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me, and I don't think any of those guys should.
Hey, he would have said Sam Bushman.
Well, and I think that Kurt is nailing the point here by literally saying, I won't answer that because you know what? You guys aren't going to be honest and fair. Your question makes it sound like, hey, how do we highlight this? Oh, everybody's kind of crazy about the divide. How do we highlight this so we can bridge the gap and kind of follow Ellen's lead? That's the deceptive lead-in. But Kurt's right. If you answer, they will absolutely barbecue you. Now, the host might not on the spot, but they know full well what will happen in the blogosphere. They know full well that it will be a foment, a divide, a flat-out attack. They know that, and they're leading softly to try to extract that from the misinformed. And Kurt was too wise for it. James, you've been too wise for it. Most of the candidates were too wise for it. But that's what they're trying to do, right?
Well, here too, though. I mean, we just saw this episode, as you mentioned. Look, if you can't even meet with... Trump is on a totally different level, the way that they have tried to malign him and make him out to be this third rail guy. But, I mean, you're talking about George W. Bush, who was a mainstream neocon, very much on par with the Democrats on most issues when push came to shove. I mean, I know he said he was, against homosexual marriage, but what did we get? Homosexual marriage. And I know it didn't happen on his watch. But anyway, when you peel off the mask, I mean, Ellen and Bush probably agree on most things. But even now, she's getting excoriated for sitting with the former president of the United States. So if you can't even have company with a former president of the United States, I mean, if any of these guys could have said, well, I actually met one time with a Christian. I met with a guy who thinks marriage should be between a man and a woman. You know, that would have been enough to get them totally disqualified by the way things are going right now.
Yeah, you know what I would have said?
I saw that in one of the recent debates where Elizabeth Warren was asked, what would you do if somebody on the campaign trail said, my faith instructs me to believe that marriage should be just between a man and a woman? And she said, well, I would encourage you to marry a woman if you can find one, you know, as if that's just some ridiculous, outdated notion.
You know what I would have responded, you know, James?
You know, they could have said literally anybody, and they would have disqualified them.
Here's what I would have said, James. I would have said, Anderson Cooper, I consider you a dear friend, sir. Oh, you guys are both dumbfounded, huh?
I was waiting for the punchline.
There's no punchline. What are they going to say if I say Anderson Cooper's a dear friend? Isn't Anderson Cooper with what network, guys?
CNN.
Okay, and so CNN, which Donald likes to attack. Now, as far as I understand, Anderson Cooper's not like one man married to one woman straight, right?
No, that's not.
Okay, and he's a liberal news commentator trying to bait me, and I would just say, I consider you a dear friend, Anderson. What's going to happen with that?
Anderson will be going down in no time.
Well, how would Anderson respond if I said that? What would Anderson say? Anderson, I consider you a dear friend, my friend. You want
to
know what
relationship? We'll take a break real quick right now. That's what he would say. Sometimes.
Amen to that. We'll do the same. Back in seconds, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know, I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
Man.
We can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say, ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where'd all these cats come from?
As you all know,
Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
All right, telling the tales of liberty on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards, co-hosting the broadcast, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Kirk Crosby and yours truly in the roundtable. So I would have said to Anderson Cooper, if he said that to me, about, hey, in the spirit of Ellen defending George Bush, you know, who would, what relationship, you know, has helped you learn the most or would you defend? And I would say, Anderson Cooper, you are my a dear friend. And just to kind of round it out, because I don't want to just name one to facilitate your question. I want to name two just to double down and challenge the rest of my, quote, I don't know what you call them on the stage. They're not really going to win like I am. I'm going to beat them all like a drum. Nevertheless, I want to name two just so you have plenty of cannon fodder, Anderson. So number one would be you, Anderson Cooper. I think we ought to do lunch sometime soon. Secondly, I think we ought to invite Donald. And me, you, and Donald could all three go out and be best of buddies. Would just be BFFs, Anderson. What do you think that would elicit? James?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think you would probably press for, you know, a more direct answer.
I would say I'm very direct. I'm asking you and Donald to go out to lunch, Anderson. And I want to be best friends, BFF, with both of you. Because if we're doing it in the spirit of Ellen, you guys are as extreme opposing opposites as you could possibly get. I want to bring you all together in love.
You know, that is one thing they could do. They could double down on, you know, and look, I mean, we have to be real about this. I mean, Ellen is a parody. I don't know her, obviously, but she comes across as being a very pleasant person. And that very well could be who she is. And I wouldn't doubt that, actually. But, I mean, at the same time, she was the one, more than any other celebrity, that ushered in this radical homosexual agenda, popularizing it, normalizing it in the 1990s, the mid-90s, with her sitcom that she was on, the sitcom she was on before she became the homosexual Oprah. But, you know, so she's done some damage to this country. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we can't forget that. But I think that, you know, what she said about Bush, just that statement in and of itself is 100% true. Why can't we have associations?
Well, wouldn't Anderson
even be acquainted or, God forbid, be friends with someone with whom we disagree?
And hey, wouldn't Anderson Cooper
should have doubled down on her statement on that?
Wouldn't Anderson Cooper, Donald Trump, and Sam Bushman be the greatest unholy alliance?
You know, we need to become more united.
Well, I guess James can't hear us.
But they don't really mean it. And they don't really mean it. What they mean is they want everybody to buy into, or at least pretend to buy into it, keep quiet, keep their head down, this radical, egalitarian, progressive, destructive, anti-God, anti-family agenda. And if you do that, then they're not going to have any problems with you. But if you don't do that, well, I mean, just look at it. I mean, everybody, literally everybody, from the president on down, who is one step to the right of whoever we're talking about here, Warren or Sanders or all of these other kooks and cranks that the Democrats have fielded, if you are one step to the right of them, you are a Nazi. You are a white supremacist. So discourse, to go along to get along, the American way of agreeing to disagree and exchanging ideas and healthy debate, forget it. That's over, guys.
And well,
it's
so
not coming back,
James,
anytime soon that I can see.
Hey, James, so here's the question, though. What do you think about that? I'm saying, hey, if we're gonna do this in the spirit of Ellen.
It's a good idea. They should have doubled down on the Ellen thing. Let's all talk. Let's be together. We can talk.
Why don't we have Anderson Cooper, the Donald, and Sam just do a White House lunch? You know, we can sit down and chat about things and make friends and, you know, ask about each other's families and such like that. And you know, we can just hang out. You know what I mean? I'm in. Are you up for this challenge, Anderson?
And, you know, and to be sure, I have always been pleasant anyone I have ever met. I mean, I really have. I mean, even the people who have attacked and maligned and libeled and slandered, I mean, that doesn't say that I like it or I agree with it, but I have never been, I can't remember ever being impolite to anyone. I can remember being on CNN with these people attacking me and before the show and after the show, be very cordial. And that doesn't mean that I'm not standing my ground or not ready to put them in their place. I mean, certainly you can do that and you can tell the truth in love. But no, I mean, this is the recipe. I mean, but of course, this is the problem that conservatives and Christians have always had. We operate by one set of rules, and the left operates by, you know, they bring guns to a knife fight or whatever. I mean, anything goes. It's the law of the jungle. And there's, when you have no moral compass, when you have no principles, and you're lined up on the other side by people who do, those people who do, sadly, will be at a disadvantage. And that's us.
Hey, Kurt, what do you think of my idea? I'd just say, hey, Sam and Anderson Donald ought to sit down for a White House lunch. We ought to be buddies in the spirit of Ellen. Are you game, Anderson? And I'd put him right on the spot and say, no, I need Anderson to answer this question.
Well, remember, Sam, how John McCain answered your question? When you have the microphone, that's right. When you have the microphone and the power and stuff, then you pretty much can just, as you have always taught us, he who owns the media makes the rules. In that case, it would be Anderson Cooper saying some little thing and taking you right another direction. And so that's how that works, I think.
Yeah, he'd do this. He'd basically somehow my mic wouldn't communicate so that I'd miss a beat, if you will, kind of look foolish. And then what he would do is he'd move to the next candidate and he'd kind of mock my statement like, huh, that was very funny. We're really trying to understand about the candidates. This was a serious question. He'd dismiss my real attempt to bring people together and to highlight what I really believe the spirit of Ellen was about, a clarion call for civility, a plea for civility, an effort to bring people together. And my real opportunity challenge, it's not to mock him. It's to really try to get Donald and Anderson to sit down, because I honestly think if they sat down and got to know each other a little bit, they probably wouldn't be so hate-filled and hostile to one another.
You can always find areas of common ground.
Agreed.
No matter how polar opposite you are. And at the very least, if you break bread with someone, even if you disagree on everything, but you do it with a you know, Christ-like spirit, you know, you're going to right. I mean, Sam, right, all the way.
But sadly, Kurt's correct in that he who owns the media makes the rules. They would have shut me down. Kurt, even though I'm making a valid point and I'm doing it on purpose, I know that my, you know, opinions don't matter in these debates. But Kurt's exactly right, though. They would use an excuse to shut me down and never take the idea seriously because they don't believe at all and bringing people together. And I think we go full circle and Kurt proves the point. While they're all doing this and battling and everything else, Donald Trump is hanging out with Little League, Kurt.
I thought this was a cool story, Sam. And in my opinion, it's probably the reason very few people hear about it, because it makes the president look like a pretty cool guy. I guess the Little League World Champions were basically, they had come to the White House and wanted to, you know, they were being congratulated by the president. They were invited there, and they spent some time. They got some, if I remember right, some pizza. Let's see, Domino's pizza, you know, different things like that. Had
yeah,
a good
Domino's
time.
Even delivers to the White House, huh, Kurt?
There you go. And the president happened to be heading to Louisiana, and that's where this team is from. By the way, Minority Whip Steve Scalise, the one that got shot for the, you know, in the Republican softball game or whatever it was there as well. But the president said, hey, why don't you guys ride with me back home
on Air Force One. So Donald does a good deed. Doesn't get covered in the media at all as Donald Trump flies Little League Series World Champions home on the Air Force One after they hang out and eat pizza at the White House. But in Lusher High School down in New Orleans, Louisiana, they're rejecting free meals from Chick-fil-A at the same time. Because why? Well, Chick-fil-A is, well, not kind to the LGBT staff. And so you got this strange deal where a principal of a school down there in Louisiana is literally rejecting Chick-fil-A free food because it offends the LGBT staff. Donald Trump flying the Little League. So Donald's in the Little League. The principal hates Chick-fil-A down there in Louisiana, and the Democrats are all on stage. Sam's trying to bring them together, but, of course, he'll get shut down in doing so. Interesting dichotomy, James.
Well, I did see that story about the Little Leaguers that the president took. That was a cool move, great gesture. And, of course, you're right. You're not going to hear anything about that because the president in a favorable light. And if there's anything, if there's one redeeming quality above all others that keeps me in tune and in sync with him, it's his utter disdain for the media, and rightly so. And they're just vicious, completely unobjective treatment of him. But, yeah, I mean, and, of course, that Little League championship team is the only championship team that I'll meet with him. You see the professional teams won't go to the White House because he's in there because Trump's supposed to be some sort of a bad guy, even though half the country voted for him. I guess that half of the country doesn't matter. But no, it was a good move on the move of the president to take the Little Leaguers. I mean, they'll remember that forever. I mean, just a lot of grace and class in that. And then, of course, Chick-fil-A. I mean, basically the founders of Chick-fil-A were these Southern guys, the Cathy family out of Georgia. And they just basically said, hey, we're Christians and we believe what the Bible says about marriage. They've never denied service to any homosexuals. They've never done anything untoward. They're just not with the program. So they're making it out like Chick-fil-A is, some evil organization for just having the very basic framework of legitimate biblical beliefs.
Well, and they offered free food.
We're all Chick-fil-A now.
They offered free food to the government school, and the government school turned it down. Two last stories before the end of the hour. Donald Trump supporter keeps cool after getting spit on during interview. When they go low, we go high, Kurt.
Yeah, you remember that phrase, right?
Yeah, Michelle Obama.
Was it Michelle? I was thinking
correct.
It was the guy from Chicago,
Michelle
whatever
Obama
his
said.
Name was. But not the lady I'm talking about. I thought that was who said it. But anyway, bottom line is this guy was being interviewed, and he had his Trump cap on, his Make America Great Again cap. And I guess somebody spit on him, and he didn't even, it says, Dave Carlson, a salesman in Minnesota, was sharing why he donates to President Trump's campaign when a protester openly spat in his face and kept walking by, according to Vice News. Without provocation, this guy spat on his face, but the disgusting attack was captured on camera. And the look of shock on the reporter's face the moment the incident happened shows just how unexpected it was. But it would have been easy, they say, to lose his temper, but Carlson almost deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for keeping his composure. He kept his cool, wiped off his face, saying, I'm fine, I'm fine. Two other protesters who were not the perpetrator apologized to Carlson. So there you go, Sam.
Yeah, CNN says Michelle Obama's the one that said when they go low, we go high. So, Kurt, you got to,
Yeah, I remember it being her as well.
Oh,
of course, she didn't do it. She said it, but she didn't do it.
Oh, that's another discussion. Come on now. But so when they go low and ask a question like that in the debate, I would have gone high and said, Donald, me, you, and Cooper need to sit down.
That's
buddy,
good you
and
guys
drink.
Went to the source of truth, CNN. That's good.
All right.
Kurt, how could you? Yeah, you better not be,
I wanna know what,
be questioning the authenticity of that thing.
I want to know what source of truth Kurt would go to get the answer on that, by the way. While he's doing that, let's talk about this Tennessee governor. Tried to have a day of prayer and fasting, got trashed by the atheists. Kurt, final story.
You better tell him, Sam, real quick, because I don't have it in front of me. But
all right, well, neither do I, because Kurt just sent me the headline. Nevertheless, the Tennessee governor doing a great job trying to have a day of prayer and fasting. Atheists are going berserk. The governor just tried to say, hey, Tennesseans, let's work on fasting and prayer, and let's do a good job here and come together. And, oh, no, the atheists just melt down and, they throw their sucker in the dirt and just have an absolute spastic. We can't, this is a disgrace to the Constitution. How dare the governor? And it's a big meltdown. We got to come together on something, ladies and gentlemen. What could it be? What could we come together on? The idea that we reach out to God and say we want to fast and pray for our nation and for each other and to come together? I got a clarion call for civility out. How about you? We declare this nation shall endure.